Our rights are given from God, and it's embodied in the language of our Constitution. Lloyd Wheeler will be with us in the second hour to talk about this here republic. And in the first hour, we'll hear from Bob Williamson in his noted remarks regarding his Christian faith. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Once again, my friend, we are back together with this here fine radio show, known by many for its diversity of thought and opportunities to talk with so many different kinds of folks, all of whom are contributive, I would say, to the this kind of fabric, this collective that, among other things, is often touted for its diversity, Tallahassee / Leon County. I look at who we are and where we've come from and where we're going on a pretty regular basis. And it's a topic around here that you're often going to hear me refer to as to why, in fact, we make the decisions we do. How is it that we align ourselves in the fashion that we do? What groups do we hang with? Or more significantly, which groups do we not hang with? How is it that we come together to solve some of this community's most nagging and often very tragic problems, whether it's a crime rate that seems to plague one side of the community over another, if it's poverty that seems to plague one zip code or two more than others, or if it's hunger, I mean, the food scarcities. And then we talk about employment and opportunity and wages. You know, our friend Skip Foster and I talked some time ago. In fact, I heard him say recently in another broadcast, you know, and I trust Skip's perspective, and you know, he's a, if you want to say, he came to this town as a outsider some years ago. He was hired to, you know, run the newspaper over there as a publisher, Tallahassee Democrat. But since his departure from there, and he's been out of there for a little while, but he said, you know, we talk a lot about these social problems. He came back to simply saying, you're not going to really get anywhere until you address the economy or economic disparities. Okay, so how do we do that? Or how do we do any of this? Well, I want to offer, and I will continue to remind you that for us to solve problems, we have to believe that the problems are worth solving. Number one, we have to decide that we, no one group, no one grouping, no one side or the other, up or down, is going to have all of the answers. So that's sort of the good news and the bad news. I mean, for 20 plus years, I provided family counseling in this town. thousands of people that came through the doors of our practice back then. And clearly, there was no reason to think we were going to make any progress if we didn't have people on board. You know, and the sticky part of that was the fact that every family that walked through the door had this little banner over their heads. We want to change, or we want change, as long as we don't have to change. Yeah, I mean, that's the human condition, I might say, or certainly an aspect of where we go with the problems that we deal with. And let's be honest, most of us, as long as, you know, we're not in crisis, as long as we're okay, we're making our car payments and, you know, there's food on the table, well, that's pretty much the beginning and the end of our most ardent concern. So it really requires that we look beyond our own individual interests and needs. Again, I don't think that's natural to the flesh that we heir to. You know, not the better angels of our nature. But there's this admonition for us. And that's why I'm telling you that today's show is really dedicated to this idea, the proposition that America is seeking greatness, seeking a more perfect union. We're going to talk with Lloyd Wheeler about that whole notion, that while many of us, and I'm one of them, consider the United States of America an exceptional nation, not because of its flawless record, heavens no, any more than those families that I counseled, I would say, man, there's just, you know, there's a perfect family. There is no such thing. Come on. In your family, it doesn't take you long to find the one who's alcoholic or drug addicted, the one who's abusive or abused, the one who betrayed the family or walked out or whatever. Or any of the medical issues that families deal with. Come on. That's the way it is for all of us. Everybody dealing with their own stuff. Okay, so then when we come back together, either as a family or in this case a community, based in this cultural reference that says caring for one another is the better path. You know, Christ gave us two commandments. He said, you've got the ten, and then you've got all of the other permutations of those ten commandments, right? The 600 aspects or whatever they are that were worked out, covering all sorts of ways of life, right? And some still abide with that. Orthodox Judaism, good example. And in each said, I'm just going to bring this down real simple since you guys are having trouble with the ten and the many. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh, easy. And he said, the other I would give you is not unlike that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, boy. What does that mean? Love my neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? Ah, there we go. I want to contend with you this morning. I offer you this thought that every person within our community is our neighbor. So maybe we can't reach out to the people across the world or even across the state. Maybe our neighbor is confined to a geography that is for us sort of pragmatic. But my goodness, if our neighbors are confined to a few zip codes or even a few city blocks, I think we're missing the opportunity. And what is that opportunity? To enjoy life. Because after all, when we are looking out for one another, we're giving ourselves a gift. We're blessing our own lives. And here we go with the questions of how do we come together? You know, if there are differences of opinion, Well, those differences can be worked out if we have determined that we are one, that we belong to each other, and that we have this Spirit of God going before us, who has already laid out for us an instruction. Love your neighbors yourself. Do that. Well, you're going to hear from Bob Williamson here momentarily. Bob Williamson, author of Miracle on Lucky Street. That's L-U-C-K-I-E, Lucky Street. A remarkable testimony to this very fact, that he found himself confronted with his own malady, his addictions, his personality, all of it. And he found a solution that continues to move him forward. You stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Some have said he is a man who has gone from 0 to 75 in his lifetime. He started out with very little, and with several strikes against him. By the time he was 17, he was drug and alcohol addicted. Through the course of his life, he built several companies, all the way to $75 million in value. Bob Williamson is our guest this morning. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Cerny. Thank you for joining us this morning, Bob.
My pleasure.
I'll tell you that we are going to have a hard time cramming together inside of 1 hour the story that is the life of Bob Williamson, but we will certainly do our best. And I want you to know that this is all about you having an opportunity to share with our listeners what you think is most important and what it is that you think perhaps most people are talking about right now. We live at a time when a lot of fortunes have been lost, and a lot of people have lost jobs or have had to relocate. And so perhaps there's a lot of folks out there this morning who find themselves a bit hopeless, a bit less excited about the future, or struggling with some severe challenges in many different ways, financial, marital. You talk about being 12, 13, 14 years old, I guess, when you were already an alcoholic. The early childhood experiences, obviously. Can you talk a little bit about where all of that got started?
Yeah, well, my childhood was dark. I started drinking at 12, and I was an alcoholic by the time I was 14. Started taking drugs when I was 17, and I went to 19 different schools and exhibited signs of being very sadistic, animal cruelty. When I was 5 years old, I nailed my pet rabbits up by their neck and killed them, and I was in fights and in and out of trouble. I got into drugs pretty seriously at 17, and got married at 19 and divorced at 20 with a child, and went into the military and ended up in a military prison in serious trouble. And they sent me to some psychiatrists who diagnosed me as a sociopath, asked me if I knew what that was. I said no, and they said, well, you're incapable of love. You don't have a conscious, and you're well on your way to becoming a serial killer. And I said, well, what do I do about it? And they said, there's nothing you can do about it. It's incurable. So they kicked me out of the service, and then I became a intravenous drug user. I started using meth. I was addicted to meth, amphetamine, and heroin. Ended up in, picked up a gun and started committing armed robberies and many other crimes, and ended up in Parrish Prison and got out on a technicality, resumed what I'd been doing immediately, and found out the police were looking for me, and so I hitchhiked up to Atlanta, Georgia, and when I arrived, I was homeless. I didn't have any friends or family, and I was completely penniless. I sold a pint of blood for $7 to get my start, and took a job cleaning bricks with a hatchet for $15 a day. So at that point, I had enough money to go out one night, and I borrowed a car and went out and had a head-on collision. Very nearly died and ended up in Grady Memorial Hospital. And it was there that I befriended a nurse. I was in the hospital for quite some length of time. As I said, I very nearly died. And I've always been an insomniac, and I only sleep about 3 hours a night. And as a result, I would read constantly ever since I was a little child. And so I got my nurse to go to the library and get books for me to read while I was recuperating. And the librarian sent me a list of all the best-selling books in the world, and I noticed that the best-selling book in the world was the Bible. And at that point, I hated God. I blamed him for all my problems. And I hated everything. I hated myself, other people, just very bitter and angry. But I decided to read the Bible to disprove it. Started reading in the Old Testament, and it was so boring I was going to abandon the project. But my nurse had brought me her personal copy of the Bible, and I noticed in the New Testament she'd underlined a lot of verses. So I flipped over to that and started reading the New Testament. And my whole attitude was, as I was convinced that I would be able to disprove it quite handily, but I found out that in reading it, that Jesus Christ was nothing like I thought he was. All my life, people had looked down on me and told me I would never amount to anything, and I believed that as well. And but Christ, you know, it was very encouraging to read. He was not condemning or full of condemnation. Rather, he was full of compassion. And actually, he seemed to cater to people like me who had made a lot of mistakes and weren't the elite of society, and say the least. But I came to a verse that really just made me mad, and actually when I read it, I just slammed the Bible shut and rang for my nurse, and I told her just to get it out of there. It was just full of lies. And the verse was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And she said, well, what are you talking about? And I said, well, it says right here, I can change my life. I said, that's impossible. I said, a lot of my friends have committed suicide. I'd like to do that myself. I said, I've got tracks on both arms. I'm shooting up in my legs. I'm an alcoholic on top of that. I've been a criminal for many years. And there's no way less than 2% of anybody who puts a needle in their arm ever gets off it, and neither will I. The only way I'll get off it is be lowered into the ground in a pine box. And she was a big, heavy-set African-American lady, and she stood there and put her hands on her hips, and she looked at me, and she said, "Jesus is God. He can do anything he wants. He made the blind see. He cured the leper. He walked on water. He fed 5,000, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And if he can do all that, he can change your sorry tale." She didn't say tale.
Talking with Bob Williamson, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talk.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here. Talking with Bob Williamson about his life and the dramatic transformation going from an early history that was dark with violence and drugs and alcohol and anger and all kinds of things that most of us probably don't experience. Maybe some of us have, but Bob, you came through that time. How old were you when you gave your life to Christ?
I was 24.
24. You've done some remarkable things. 11 companies in the formation and selling of those companies. The last one you sold, it was worth $75 million, and that was a software company, correct?
Correct.
So when you're 24 years old, did you sit back and say, okay, now that I have this new life in Christ, I'm going to go out and build a $75 million company? Was that how that worked, or were there a few steps in between? I just want to say that for the folks that are listening this morning going, okay, I get the part about Jesus. How do I get to the $75 million? Is that the goal here, that we all turn out to be millionaires at some point?
Well, no, I did a success seminar. Currently, I have founded Honey Lake Plantation Resort and Spa. It's just east of Tallahassee. And I did a seminar out there on success. And I don't, you know, the dictionary defines success as attaining wealth, power, fame, or achieving some significant achievement. I don't define it as that. If that were the case, Whitney Houston would be successful. And she was very talented, beautiful, had everything money could buy, and so forth, and ended up drowning, I guess, in a bathtub while she was on coke. Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, lots of people have had success as the dictionary defines
fame and
it.
Fortune, huh?
Yeah, it's not that. And I've tried everything, actually, both sides. I've tried drugs, alcohol, women, but I've had money, and I've slept on the side of the road up under a bridge and eaten in missions, and I've flown on a private jet and eaten in the finest hotels. What I found in life, that none of that is a definition of success. Success to me is knowing peace and joy and love in your life. And you can have that whether you live in a double wide or in a homeless shelter, for that matter, or in a grand home. It's not measured by that. The whole world, in my opinion, chases after the things that you can't take with you. The average person lives 77.9 years, but eternity is forever. And there's no Rolex watches that go into heaven. You don't take a trailer full of money. Your portfolio means nothing.
So saying that, you know, some people would say, well, that's fine for you, Bob. I mean, you made your 75 mil, so it's easy for you to sit back now and say, you know, it's not all about the money.
But I've also been homeless and eaten in mission, so I've seen every part
seen
of the story.
So then, if it's not about the money, you know, what was it for you then that was the motivating factor? I mean, obviously, $75 million company didn't just somehow magically occur. there was a lot of work involved with that, and you had to make a decision in that process where you were planning on retiring, I think, at one point. Tell us about that.
When I started out, it was about the money. I mean, I wanted to succeed and succeed mightily, and I'm a very hard worker. I have a very strong work ethic. I don't work 8 hours. I'm just getting started. I usually get up at 3 a.m. I probably work till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Used to, I would work 20 hours a day. I've just been driven to succeed in building these businesses, and I didn't want my family to have to. I had known extreme poverty. I wanted to be able to put my kids through college and have a nice home and all of those things. And, you know, and it brought a lot of problems. I'll be honest with you. I went from making $30,000 a year to $30,000 a week, and later on to $200,000 a week. And if you don't think that brings temptation, you're mistaken. That's why a lot of people who hit the lottery end up, they lose their family and they end up committing suicide. It's not for everybody.
Or they end up in a bathtub, drug addicted, drowning in, you know.
So it's not what it's cracked up to be.
Even though they have all the money and the fame,
And you know, I came very close a couple of times to just doing away with my family, and, you know, I could have put a good-looking girl half my age on each arm and chartered a jet and gone to Paris and on to Amsterdam to
Vegas. And this
Vegas.
Is the Bob Williamson who had committed his life to Christ,
yeah,
who knew the dark side, had come through all of that, been transformed. Now he has some money, and he's being tempted to trade that and what it brings or can bring for this peace and love. Did you know the peace, love, and joy that you spoke of at that time? Was that prominent in your life? Or
it has come and it's gone. It's like whenever I drift away from God, you know, the thing about it is the Bible says that we're in a spiritual warfare. I mean, Satan wants our soul, and so does God. And so Satan comes after you with everything he's got. I mean, with me, it was drugs and alcohol and sex and violence in early days. And then later it was fame and power and money and material
he's
things.
He's never given up.
No, and even to this day, it's an incessant battle. The Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God, which is prayer and hearing the Word of God, reading it, going to church, fellowship with other Christians, faith, trying to live a righteous life. And it's when those ingredients are missing that I think we have a tendency to slip.
Okay.
But I've been able to right myself and without, you know, slipping all the way. But it's a struggle, I think, and I think it's a struggle until God calls us home.
And it seems to me, too, that you, along the way, I mean, here you were ready to retire at one point with this Horizon software company and living the life, right? And yet you chose not to do that, and I want to hear more about how you came to that decision. Folks, we're talking with Bob Williamson here this morning, 97.9 ESPN Radio. Tallahassee Talks is here every Saturday morning, and we're having a great conversation here about some very, very real issues in life. Some of us have lost jobs or lost wives or husbands or loved ones, kids, houses. I mean, this last 5-6 years, we've come through some very tough times. We're not out of it yet. Here in our town, state government has cut back. A lot of people have been dislocated, relocated, finding themselves struggling on a lot of levels. And Bob, I don't think that anybody could look at you and say, well, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like. It seems to me you've been on both sides of that. You've had nothing, slept in a ditch, you know, and then slept in a beautiful house and had money and all of this fame and fortune. But you're saying that, folks, the message is it's a day-to-day walk, isn't it?
It is, and I think, you know, I hear all the time, well, you might say, well, money won't buy you happiness. And they say, well, I'd like to try, but people with money and that have got money are not saying that out of some kind of smug response. It's the truth. And you see it all the time.
A conversation from a few years ago. Bob Williamson, author, with us in this portion of the show. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop offers front door service at both locations and plenty of outdoor seating at the Cary Forest Shop. Jerry's is committed to your safety during this pandemic, having sealed off the humidors to the public since March, which means the cigars are uncontaminated and ready to enjoy. To help our community, Jerry's is donating a portion of all Regina cigar sales to local food banks, with nearly $10,000 donated so far. Come see us at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop, with two locations, on Scherer Road and Cary Forest Park.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
But, yeah, you know, that wasn't destined for me. I think that God gave me this platform.
Well, it seems to me you're just a person. You know, whether you're drug addicted or Christ-filled or not, you're a guy who is wired in such a way that if I say paint the room, you're going to paint it five times, and you're going to paint the next four rooms next to it. I mean, that's just
everybody is different.
You're wired.
Yeah, you know, everybody is different.
Yeah,
Brian, you know, some people stand up on a pulpit and preach. Other people mow the grass outside or hand out programs for a church. Or you know, some people cook and some people make $1 million and give it to charity or whatever. I think that the body of Christ is comprised of many members. I don't know that we should. I mean, the Bible teaches that we were created to serve God's purpose and not our own. You know, and I think so many people don't understand that and actually look for why did God create me? The Bible teaches that before the world was ever formed, he thought of all of us. The very hairs on our heads are numbered. He created us for a purpose. It's not random. So why did he create you, or why did he create me? Mm-hmm. He created us to fulfill a purpose. Mm-hmm. So my life of crime and all that, and then transforming, getting to where I am, somebody might hear me now and be encouraged by it. Maybe that's my purpose in life. Mm-hmm. Somebody else's purpose might be to go down to a hospital and hold hands with somebody in hospice and give them some comfort. I just think that there is a purpose for everybody, and if you find it, you'll know the peace and joy and love. And it is not about money. It's not about yachts. It's not about all these things that people have the mistaken notion that, well, if I had a private jet, I'd be happy. If you had a private jet, then you'd want to a yacht 150 feet long. And if somebody bought 150, you'd want one 200 feet long. Yeah. And that's what Solomon said.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end, it's all, there's only one thing that you take with you when you leave this earth, and that's what you have lived in this life. Yeah. It's the things you've done for Christ and the things you've done that are against Christ. And that's what's going to matter 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now. And I think more people would think in terms of that, they would know more peace in their hearts.
Peace, love, and joy. Those are the things that you then write about in your daily devotion. And you said to us earlier that that's available online. Give us that web address again, if you will.
It's wordsforthedaything.org.
Wordsforthedaything.org. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's simple enough, folks. We're talking with Bob Williamson here, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning, bright and early. Bob, since you're an insomniac, you were up much earlier than the rest of us this morning.
3 o'clock.
So good of you to be able to. This is like the middle of your day, I guess, or whatever. So for the rest of us, though, we're just trying to kind of get the caffeine going through the blood system here, maybe, and looking forward to the rest of our day. And as we go forward, folks, I hope you will take with you some of the things that Bob has shared with us. As I said, you know, you and I all have friends and family who are beset with all kinds of problems. And here's a guy who in his lifetime would stand up and say, yeah, well, let me tell you about some of the things I've walked through, good, bad, and indifferent. Certainly the money didn't insulate you from, your success did not protect you from, even the loss of your brother. So when I have a very good friend who says to me, you know, I have a hard time believing that this God you talk about can be considered loving when God allows such tragic, horrible things to happen. You know, how can he allow your own father to have abused you as a child? How can God have been a part of that? What God would allow such tragedy in the world to occur? What's your response?
Well, my response is that God, when God created us, that wasn't the case. It's sin that causes the problems.
So we pulled away. We went a different path.
It was God gave us a free will. Oh. He didn't want a bunch of robots and people, automons, that just were programmed to do whatever he said. He wanted us to love him, and he gives us a choice. And unfortunately, you know, sin entered the world, and Christ warned that when it did, there would be consequences. The way I look at sin, it's like if I throw a rock at a window, I might regret it as soon as it leaves my hand, but when it hits that window, it's going to shatter it. And sin does the same thing. It'll shatter lives. So you go out and you get drunk tonight and then get in a vehicle and have a car accident and kill somebody or yourself.
You can be sorry.
It's a shattered life.
But the guy's still dead. Yeah.
Still happens.
Yeah.
So I think that we live in a fallen state of consequence. I think that God found a way to reconcile us through Jesus. We couldn't do it on our own. If we could and we could be good enough to get into heaven, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. So instead, he came. He was a perfect sacrifice. He gave his life for our sins. We accept that, believe in him, ask for forgiveness. Then we can be reconciled to God again. Now, I mean, you've got 77.9 years on average of this, but you've got an eternity to look forward to. And so I think that why to try to understand how God thinks is be like me trying to explain to my little puppy how to write a computer program. He's just wag his tail.
But so there are things beyond us that we can't even possibly hope to explain. Why is God the way God is? That's beyond us. That's sort of like asking, why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? None of us really know the answer to that. It simply is. And the nature of God is to free us and to allow us that freedom of choice. So, folks, here we are, and you've made a choice this morning to join us in this rather inspiring hour here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, a new friend and a good friend, Bob Williamson, who has joined us. And Bob, I have to tell you, Thank you for sharing this part of your day with us.
It's my pleasure.
We look forward to it. I'd love to have you come back when you have opportunity. I know you do stay pretty busy. Honey Lake Plantation over there, folks, in Greenville, Florida. What a great place. It sounds like we need to make a trip over there, Bob, and perhaps we can bring some of our listeners and we'll hang out and we'll look out on that lake on a bright sunny morning and watch that mist rise up off the water and just have ourselves a grand time. Honey Lake Plantation there in Greenville. And don't forget, too, folks, that Bob has written a book, A Miracle on Lucky Street, and I'm certain that you could find that this morning on the web and get yourself a copy of that. Bob, we look forward to having further conversation with you when it's possible.
Sure thing. Yeah, I'd enjoy that.
Thanks so much.
And a remarkable testimony from Bob Williamson when we talked with him back in 2012. Hope you've enjoyed this portion of the show. Stay with me, folks. After the top of the hour, we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers Spacious Showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on this fine day when it is our pleasure to talk with Lloyd Wheeler. If you've just joined us, we had Bob Williamson with us in the first hour giving his personal testimony, you might say, his account of his remarkable life. And so it is on this occasion I'm taking opportunity to kind of go a little further than I might normally in bringing you this sort of thinking, because I want to point to the fact that as a culture, we are wrestling with a lot of that thinking, we'll say, or a lot of the underpinnings of what has been the foundation for our founding documents, the Declaration and the Constitution, and even the form of government that we often repeat, this three branches of government with the built-in checks and balances, all of that sort of thing. It happens that that form of government is really an adaptation of what the John Calvin, the Presbyterians, had been practicing for some time as an organization, we'll say. Anyway, so here comes the United States of America and our form of government, in which these three branches are supposed to balance out the distribution of government, the distribution of power. And uniquely enough, we are a nation dedicated to this proposition that we are governed by our own will. We are a republic in which the governing bodies, be they city, state, county, federal, derive their authority from the governed. It's a unique in the world, a unique way in which we go about distributing power, we distribute resources, we make decisions. And so for our community, as I look across some of those things on a local level that we face week in and week out, year in and year out, that continue to puzzle us apparently, well, I mean, I look at all of the charitable organizations. You realize how many nonprofit groups we have just in Tallahassee? I mean, it's well over 600. you know, everything from childcare, early childhood education, food charities, economic charitable groups, and you know, all of this intervention that's coming by way of this effort, and it's been there for a long time. And the question then comes back to us, well, why are we not seeing the resolve? Where is it that the economic constraints of this community that seem to apply more strongly to the disadvantaged or the disenfranchised, people that for one generation after the next are entrenched? And do I need to remind you of some of the rather unflattering research that has come by way of, you know, people that graduated from Harvard Business School and went out and formed their own research foundation or company organization and come back and study panel data, census data from, you know, 2010. And then Leon County shows up as the most income entrenched in the country. What does that mean? Well, it means the likelihood of you ever making more money than your parents is the lowest. Just not good odds. Well, okay, so how do we address where that resides in our thinking, in our policies? How do we break past the business of segregating one another? Well, here's a fundamental truth, and I'll go back to my reference earlier to providing family counseling, and it's common sense, I suppose, and maybe remarkable that I even have to say this, but you're not going to solve any problems unless you're freely discussing the problem, and unless everybody in the room has equal access to that conversation. So on a national level right now, there's this plaguing question about free speech that for generations we have taken as given. And I mean, Americans, among all things that we can be proud of, seem to hail the fact that we prize free speech. But I think it's fair to say that we have an opportunity right now to reflect on where this notion of free speech is derived. And that's why I kind of couch the whole thing in terms of our Christian ethics, our Judeo-Christian origins, because it is inherent in that thinking that freedom of expression, freedom of speech is just part and parcel. There's a kind of liberty, and even stated within our founding documents, that God's has granted us these inalienable rights. They're derived not from government, but from our Creator. And so for that reason, then, they're ubiquitous. And they are applied equally to all human beings. Well, of course, in our history, we've had to wrestle with the question as to what is human? What constitutes being counted among the human beings that populate our land? Right, so it's easy for you to justify your racist thinking. All you have to do is say, well, yeah, but that guy, he's not human. He's something other than. I mean, God help us all. But that is where we find ourselves when we've decided that certain groups, based on thought, based on affiliation, religious identification. How about the Mormons that were kicked out of St. Louis, you know, 100 plus years ago and said, yeah, get out of here. So, you know, Brigham Young and company said, fine, we're out. And they made their way out to what we now know as Salt Lake City, Utah. And if you've ever been to Salt Lake City, you know there's this massive sculpture there in, I think it's Bryce Canyon, overlooking the city. And the inscription is, "This is the place," the famous words of Brigham Young, because they found there a refuge from persecution. And that's just one. How many other groups, based on ethnicity or religion or race, nationality, come on, ideologies? The simple question for us today, and this is probably even more fundamental, it's not the question of whether we are free to say whatever we want to say, in whatever manner we say it, and in whatever platform we choose. There's something even primary before all of that. Are we willing to even discuss the topic of free speech?
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Lloyd Wheeler is an able historian and local personality known well to audiences across the region and certainly here in Tallahassee. His portrayal of Dr. Benjamin Franklin for many years has not only entertained audiences, but has brought great understanding and information regarding the founding of our nation and those people who were involved in the formation of the documents to which we look for affirmation and guidance, and pretty much everything that we are as a nation embodied certainly in the Constitution, but not to exclude the Declaration of Independence and all of those proceedings, all of the activity that surrounded that particular formative time in our history. And so we thought on this occasion it'd be wise to bring Dr. Franklin, as portrayed by our good friend Lloyd Wheeler, to the show. And I guess I'll say, hello, Lloyd. Hello, Ben. You live this dualistic life, but for the sake of our audience, I have to tell you, too, that Lloyd always comes in full regalia. He's got his three-cornered hat and a rather smart-looking I guess, is that a waistcoat?
Oh, a waistcoat.
A waistcoat.
With my coat and breeches.
Yes. All of that to the period of the time. And it all adds a great deal of authenticity. And his spectacles, too. The Franklin style, if I'm not mistaken. Those have that bifocal, right? Wasn't that one of his contributions?
It was. He actually referred to them as the double spectacles.
Ah, you see there?
And I have a quite a story about that, but I will not take up our time.
Well, we may have time. Who knows?
If we do.
We've certainly carved off a pretty significant task for this broadcast today, because we have in our hands documents, a copy of the Constitution, for example, and online, on screen, I've got other things that I'm reading from. But generally, we are devoting this particular broadcast today in looking at our foundation as a country and how this has had local implications lately, and will likely continue in the weeks and months ahead. And in the events that I refer to, we've had one local who was arrested. FBI saying that he had posted a flyer online that they considered inciting violence. And so on that basis, he was taken into custody. And I won't get into the details of that. It's been pretty available to the general public, because our real issue here today with having Lloyd talk with us has to do with the process for me. I'll say that. It really has to do with how we arrive at an agreed upon position, policy when it comes to free speech, when it comes to individual rights. And the Constitution gives us a fair amount of that instruction. The Supreme Court has gone much further, as the Supreme Court is wont to do and is responsible to do, in trying to lay out what that means, how it's to be interpreted over the many years since. And so we're going to try to dig into this, but I thought, Lloyd, it would be good if we start with your help in appreciating what that was like. The Constitution was finally voted upon and what, ratified in 18?
I believe the actual date, the ratification, ratifying meaning the Constitution, had been sent to the states, the individual states, to be ratified by those states before it would become the law of the land. Two-thirds of the states had to agree or ratify the Constitution for it to be binding on all of the 13 colonies or states of the time.
Yeah, and that happened in what date?
1789.
Okay. So 1789 is that mark. So imagine this, from the Declaration that year that we are most familiar with, the 1776, right?
1776 is when we declared our independency from Britain. After 8 years of war, we finally succeeded in throwing off the shackles of tyranny from the British government and king. Toward the end of that war, our Articles of Confederation had been accepted and ratified by the new states. But it was a very weak contract. Under the Articles of Confederation, there was no means of the central government to tax the individual states to promote or advance the war effort or the other things that are necessary for government, that there has to be some taxes. We, as colonists, always accepted that there would be taxes, and we were happily, if you want to use that word, willing and able to pay those taxes. One of the basis of the revolution was Parliament laying external taxes on the colonies, taxes that they had no right by our charters to place on the colonies.
Right. So the idea of taxation without representation, a very well-known phrase, was central to their argument.
It was. And of course, as Mr. Jefferson showed in his charges against the king and Parliament, there was a long list of actions that had been fostered on the colonists, so, showing a trail of tyranny.
So implicitly then, at our founding, there is this notion that the power to govern comes from the governed. It's the right of those who are being governed that determine what in fact can be considered law. So elections then are central to that whole process. What you're pointing to is the number of years that passed even after having won the war, and then coming to this place where we have to figure out how better to do business. How do we get along? How do we go about governing ourselves? So with that, I'm going to take just a moment here. I've got Lloyd Wheeler talking with us about our Constitution, the United States Constitution, the notions of free speech, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back as we talk with Benjamin Franklin, portrayed by our dear friend Lloyd Wheeler. American history, full of all kinds of left turns and back steps and, you know, what is it, three steps forward, two steps back kind of behavior, but pursuing all the 200 plus years. Let's see, how old are we? 245 years old? I can't remember.
45 or 46? With the turning of the new year, I haven't done the math. From 1776.
Carl, do that for us real quick. Neither of us can add or subtract unless there's a dollar sign in front of it. Then we got it. But in that time that has passed, the enormity of case law and statute law, court decisions, most notably Supreme Court decisions regarding free speech. And in this time when we have those crying foul, saying, wait a minute, you can't deplatform my application here. This is Parler, which had become very popular of late. And you got the guy who's the CEO, Tim Cook, for Apple, and he says no. And I'm quoting here, he was defending his company's takedown of the controversial Parler app from his online store. So basically he's just saying, you know, we're just not going to include this in our list of available product. And he's quoted as saying, we looked at the incitement to violence that was on that particular app on Parler. And we don't consider that free speech and incitement to violence having any intersection. And this is what he's telling Chris Wallace this last Sunday. But when you start looking into what amounts to inciting violence, you know, I refer to this fellow who put up a flyer, and the flyer itself doesn't say we should go out and kill people. There's an implication of some kind of confrontation, but basically what he's telling his readers is, look, we're going to form this perimeter barrier of people, and we're going to enclose the protesters, and they're going to fight it out with law enforcement. We're just going to keep them from being able to leave the grounds. Okay. And I'm asking the honest question. Apparently, FBI felt it was strong language enough to be able to go and arrest the guy. But you know, flipping back to those times when you had colonists who were calling for the death of the king, and those kinds of, right, those kinds of activities.
Yes, there were many that burned effigies of the king,
right.
Effigies of the royal governors, the different tax collectors.
Yeah.
Burning an effigy is not the same as burning a person.
Yeah.
It is showing your displeasure with the actions that that person has done.
Sure.
Or what they have said.
Yeah.
It's a way of showing your displeasure with them.
Do you think that they saw a difference there than between an act like that versus inciting violence? In other words, a call to arms that would, I mean, was that all sort of the same thing, do you think?
Many of the protests, the rallies at the at various liberty poles, the some of the actions that were taken were not to incite riot or to cause damage or violence. But in any group, there will be people that get carried away, whether it's the emotion at the time or their plan ahead of time. There are those that, be it in the case of the Constitution, Federalist or Anti-Federalist, Tory or Whig, or whatever name you want to give it today, you're always going to have those on the outside edge that are more prone to violence. I think.
I can give you a personal example. Many years ago, early, mid-80s, heavily involved in the pro-life movement in Tallahassee. And there were hundreds and hundreds of us who were active in simply trying to make clear our position regarding the sanctity of life. Years into that activity, that movement locally, we were approached by those who were calling for violence. And they were advocating the bombing of abortion clinics and even the killing of abortion medical, you know, doctors and nurses. I mean, they were very frank about it, very outright about it. It, for me and for all of us, it was unbelievable. It was just absolutely unbelievable. It was so hypocritical, well beyond being hypocrisy. This was just insane. It's remarkable to me that, and I really think that this is an imperative for us in today's broadcast, that we remind one another. Though these events are all very disturbing, and we talk about living in a country that is so deeply divided. And I've often said these days that we're deeply divided. And help me here. I don't know a time in our history that we've not been deeply divided on any given measure.
I think if we really look at our history, there were short periods of time, especially in the building of a new land, as we started to expand. But mankind is always prone to difficulties, are they not? If you look at the history of the world, you mentioned the Roman Empire of 2,000 years ago. It fell because of largesse. And instead of having the people run the country or the empire, it was they allowed certain people to become their emperors, and of course the bureaucracy that came about from it. I look at our Constitution and the preamble, which was so beautifully written.
Yes,
that the first line, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect." It's not that we're trying to form a perfect.
Absolute perfect, but more
but
perfect.
But more perfect. As we grow, as we progress, will not our union be more perfect? We're human. We are flawed. In many cases, I think our government and our people have failed in the objective, but we keep trying, we keep pushing forward.
Indeed.
And I decry those that look at our fall or our failings and point out that that is all the best we can do. It is not.
One of my ethics professors back at Seattle University use that often said phrase, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Folks, we've got Lloyd Wheeler with us here portraying Dr. Benjamin Franklin and helping us carry on a reasonably calm discussion.
A civil?
A civil conversation of some rather concerning events of late. So you stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Lloyd Wheeler's with us. We're talking about the freedom of speech and constitutionally provided and protected rights, particularly in relation to, you know, what we permit in the, we'll say, the public square and what is allowed in this highly technologically advanced system of communication, all of that means. And I don't need to list all of that. I think we all get it. You know, so as I look at it, I go, well, guys, you know, they built this thing. It's their playground. And I might not like it, but they get to set the rules. So if you don't like that, well, then you have to go about creating something else or redefining what they are. And that's the big discussion now. Mm-hmm. You know, are they simply a public utility? Well, and that is the issue right there. It's their service as opposed to, let's say, an FCC-regulated means of communication, like telephones and cell phones. Such.
But has it not evolved or adapted into?
Oh, I would agree with you that the pervasive and the powerful nature of these various media certainly rivals, maybe surpasses. AT&T or Sprint or any of these companies.
Which were they not broken by the government?
Right.
Standard Oil.
Right. The monopoly aspects of that.
Yes.
But here we have entities that yet have not been described or defined that way. So they're not public utilities. Again, that's private enterprise. It seems to me that's the kind of crossroads we're at, and let's get back to our beginnings. You started taking us down that discussion with the reading of the preamble,
and I'll go back to the preamble to the first three words: "We the people." I've heard many people refer to our country as a democracy, our form of government as a democracy. And that's entirely wrong. Our form of government, our Constitution, is written as a republic.
Okay.
A republic is a form of government based on law, on regulations. There are ways to change this, which are included in our Constitution. But we saw that the failure of the earlier democracies, the Greek laws. Those were all democracies. And at any time, the rule of the mob could change their laws. So if you have someone that can fire up the majority of the people, what stability is there in that system? And that's why democracies fail.
So there really isn't a national election for the president of the United States. There's actually 50
individual
elections.
Yes.
And the states themselves then submit their votes in a representative, we'll say, in a republic sort of way in that process.
And that's one thing I'm hearing from today is neither side wants to listen to the other. It's my side is the only way of doing it.
Well, in fact, that itself is, for me, a kind of natural consequence. I mean, you know, this Republican form of government that we're talking about, that has accompanying with it the rights of each individual to vote. So there's the democracy portion of it, right? It's messy business. It's always been messy business.
Oh, yes.
Much easier, and I see this in families where the mom and dad are have an iron fist, or the mom or the dad says, "It's my way or the highway." Well, that's a lot easier to just kind of lock everything down and tell people, "Look, you don't speak unless you're spoken to, and you obey my rules. You don't like it, you get out." I mean, from a, let's say, a management's point of view, I mean, that's militaristic. That's kind of how it works. Mm-hmm. It's a very efficient system. But when it comes down to me and you wanting to have open discussion about differences of opinion, where does that end or begin?
I mean, without the ability to freely discuss different positions, different points of view,
I think we all lose.
We do. It's detrimental to all.
Yeah.
During the convention, during one of these impasses, it was a discussion between the power of the large states versus the power of the small states. And it was a great discord about that issue. I stood up and I told a short story about a joiner, or what you may call a cabinet maker today. Took several pieces of wood and put them together. He's commissioned to make a table. And when he first put the three pieces of wood together, they did not fit smoothly. There was large gaps. So the joiner took a little bit from one board and a little bit from another board, maybe added a little bit with some glue. And eventually, all three boards were smooth. They joined together and formed a usable table, one that would stand and could support itself.
And, you know, we're going to close on that thought, Lloyd, because it seems to me that our government, the United States government, and our nation brings to the world a usable platform or table in which the whole purpose of it is the service of people. You know, the government isn't its own reason to exist, that the government as such is here to serve those who grant it governing authority.
Exactly.
Yeah. Folks, we've never been able to get everything said in the short time that Lloyd Wheeler, Dr. Ben Franklin, our good friend, is with us, but we've tried to bring a little bit more of this front and center for your sake as well as our own, and trust that you've enjoyed having Lloyd with us today. Lloyd, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Brian, and totally always enjoy our discussions and our times together, and I hope you'll have me back more often.
We shall. I think we have need for your calm and cool-minded perspective, Dr. Franklin. Yeah. Lloyd Wheeler, loved by so many in this community. Folks, that's what I've got for you today. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, online at moosemagnificat.com, playing all local musicians, their original songs, 24/7. That is Moose Magnificat Radio. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.